General Higgins pushed his chair away from Jamil and heaved himself to his feet. "You sure know how to make friends in high places, kid," he said. Then he headed back to his place at the head of the table. Jamil sat there alone. "Why don't they understand?" he asked himself. "It's as if they don't want to understand." As the others took their seats around the conference table, Zuri Coggins came up to Jamil and placed a hand on his shoulder. "You'd better update your resume, Michael," she said, shaking her head. "Nobody talks to that woman like that and lives to tell the tale." Jamil agreed with a morose nod. But as he looked up at Coggins, he saw the wall screen behind her. "Look," he said, pointing with a trembling hand. "They've got a bunch of people working around the missiles." Every eye in the Situation Room turned to the satellite view of the North Korean site. The two missiles stood on their pads as before, but now teams of men in coveralls were clustered around the base of each missile. "Final checkout," said General Scheib. "They're starting their countdown. They're going to launch those birds." San Francisco, St. Francis Hotel.
"Wow!"
exclaimed Vicky as she turned completely around, taking in the suite sitting room with its beautiful draperies and handsome furniture.
"Can we afford this?"
Sylvia laughed, delighted that at last something had impressed her 16-year-old.
"It's only for this one night, and besides, the party committee's paying for it."
Denise went to the bedroom door and peeked in.
"Twin beds," she noted. "Queens."
Before her younger daughter could ask, Sylvia explained,
"You two sleep in there. I'll use the pull-out sofa."
Vicky and Denise glanced at each other. Before they could say anything, their mother said,
"I don't want you two arguing over who sleeps where. You each get one of the beds. Share and share alike."
With a shrug, Denise changed the subject.
"When do we eat?"
Their landing at the airport had been delayed because of the president's arrival, and then it had been hell getting a taxi in the drizzling rain. The highway was clogged with slow-moving traffic, and now it was dinner time, and their luggage hadn't come up from the lobby yet.
"As soon as the bellman brings our bags, we'll grab a quick bite someplace close by and then head out to the Cow Palace."
"If we can get a cab," Vicky said.
Denise went to the desk, where a few glossy magazines were arranged in a fan.
"I'll look up a good restaurant."
Denise was always the practical one, Sylvia thought. Able One, cockpit.
"Any word from the tanker?" Colonel Christopher asked.
"Not a peep," O'Banion replied.
Christopher glanced at the fuel gauges, then over at Major Kaufman, sitting as grim as death in the right-hand seat.
"They'll be here, Obi," she said.
"If you say so, Colonel." She restrained an impulse to whistle at the hostility in Kaufman's voice. Or maybe it's fear, she thought. The major was staring straight ahead at the swirl of dirty gray clouds far below them. The tanker might be having trouble getting through that soup, she thought. Winds must be pretty strong down there. She leaned back in her chair and lifted her helmet partway off. The headache was getting worse. Stress, she knew. Try to relax, chill out. At least we haven't gotten word that the tanker is not on its way to us.
"Take over, Obi," she said, unstrapping her seat harness and getting up from the chair. "I'll be back in 5.
Kaufman nodded and mumbled something about a potty break.
Damned creep, Christopher thought.
She stepped through the hatch onto the flight deck where Sharman and O'Banion sat at their stations. They both looked pretty strained. So different, Christopher thought.